You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. The word wellness can mean so many things nowadays, but at a really basic level, it starts with what we eat. And access to healthy food in this country is unequal, often depending on where you live. You've probably heard the term food desert. The government uses slightly different phrasing, but says that 39 million Americans live in an area with low access, their term, to a supermarket or large grocery store. And often that can particularly impact low-income residents. So we called up Lauren O'Nellis, the founder and director of the Food Empowerment Project, which studies food deserts and also works to eradicate them. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You did a big study in Santa Clara County. What did you look for and what did you find?
What we did in Santa Clara County was, you know, this is a community where Cesar Chavez got his organizing start, and it was known as the Valley of Heart's Delight because of all the orchards that were everywhere. But more recently, it's known as the Silicon Valley. So we gathered up some of our volunteers and set out to do an assessment of the entire county, comparing high-income communities and low-income communities on the availability of healthy foods. And we did this by going and physically surveying locations, not restaurants or fast food, but grocery stores, convenience stores, liquor stores, on what types of foods, fresh produce, you know, vegetables, fruits, dairy alternatives, meat alternatives, that the community actually had access to. And we made the comparison from the high-income communities and low-income communities and released our report, which had some interesting findings.
Tell me about this.
One of the things that we found out was that, I guess no surprise to many people, was that high-income communities had way more access to fresh produce than communities of color and low-income communities had. In fact, the high-income areas had 14 times more access to even frozen vegetables.
Wow.
So in communities of color and low-income communities, what you would typically find in the freezer section would be frozen pizzas or ice cream, not necessarily frozen vegetables. We also found that in a lot of these communities, you had produce that may be available at the convenience store at the register, but they didn't have prices on them. So that meant that whoever was behind the counter would determine how much, say, a banana would cost, and it might change depending on who you were. This type of system also puts people who don't speak English at an incredible disadvantage to others. We also found that some of the smaller, what I would consider convenience stores or liquor stores, were actually being labeled as proper grocery stores and supermarkets, even though they clearly weren't that at all.
Did you get a sense from any of these, you know, store owners or the folks who had, say, frozen pizza in the freezer section and not vegetables, why that was the case? Why they stocked those items and not something healthier?
Some didn't really care, but there were a lot who were concerned about this and knew it was an issue, but weren't quite sure how to get the produce without it going bad, didn't know how to get large quantities to where the prices wouldn't be outrageous. So some were trying to do their best, but you definitely had some who didn't even want us to survey their locations.
You also noted the county's diabetes rates. You looked at chronic illnesses. What effects did you see in terms of being in some of these food desert areas have on residents' wellness?
Well, I think, you know, science and nutritionists told us that diets higher in fruits and vegetables are better for you. And in the state of California, we did our work in Northern California. You know, you have high rates of diabetes and other dietary diseases. The communities who are lacking healthy foods, they're suffering the health consequences of that.
Well, what are some things do you think people listening to this interview might not realize? I know you mentioned to my producer the idea of being time poor, which I think might be something that people in higher income communities are not thinking about.
I think that a lot of times when people hear about issues like high rates of diabetes or other problems, they immediately think that these people, quote unquote, don't want to eat healthy, without acknowledging that many of these people desperately want to eat more fresh produce. It's simply not available to them, especially immigrants. to this country actually ate healthier in the communities that they came from because they were able to grow their own food. So sometimes it's like, oh, well, you could buy, you know, you can go in bulk and buy things really cheap. But one, not a lot of these locations, these grocery stores have bulk sections. And two, a lot of people are exactly like time poor and cash poor, meaning that they're working several jobs to make ends meet, and they don't have a lot of time to sit and cook a meal from scratch. So it is those that are more convenient foods are going to be easier for them when they're trying to make ends meet. They're trying to keep a roof over their head while they work 2 to 3 jobs that aren't paying them very much.
Tell me about the recommendations you make, because I know you guys have talked with, you know, policymakers and business leaders. What do you say to them in terms of how they can make some changes?
One thing is that to make sure that bus lines, for a lot of these people don't have cars, and so they're reliant upon buses in order to get from home to the grocery store or from work. So to try and figure out ways to make the bus lines in locations where they actually are going from where communities of color and low-income community people are living to the grocery stores without them having to take multiple buses. They can also ensure that there's no restrictions or limitations on how many grocery bags that people can bring on the buses. We also really strongly feel that more needs to be done to help people grow their own food. This is something that overwhelmingly we found in focus groups, is that people wanted to grow their own food. Not everybody has access to land, but if communities and city officials were able to provide land available for people to grow their own food, that's a win-win for everybody. Also, we feel that worker-owned cooperatives are a big part of a solution for the issue, where the people who are working there are from the community and the profits from those cooperatives stay in the community.
Lauren Arnelis, founder and director of the Food Empowerment Project, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.